This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. Barring a miracle, there's going to be a strike next week in the soft coal fields. Contract talks between industry officials and the United Mine Workers Union broke down yesterday, and that was the signal for the miners to walk out when the current contract expires March 27th. Eric Engberg reports from Washington.
There was the expected tough rhetoric as the mine workers prepared for the strike, their president Sam Church casting the foe as oil companies, which also mine coal.
We're not just facing 130 coal companies, large and small. We're facing the might and the wealth of big oil. And big oil is largely responsible for the energy mess the American people find themselves in today.
However, there is a strong conciliatory ring to the union's approach. Church says he wants no wildcat walkouts before the present contract expires. He wants a strike to be short. He wants the negotiations resumed as soon as possible. He indicated the issues thought to be among the most volatile are close to settlement. The company is no longer pressing, he said, for immediate restructuring of miners' pensions. The union willing to open the mines to Sunday work on a voluntary basis. When the talks broke off, Church said, they broke off because the union was demanding a 46% wage and benefits increase over 3 years. The company's willing to offer 20%. Eric Engberg, CBS News, Washington.
As Engberg pointed out, union president Church says he doesn't want any wildcat walkouts before the end of the current contract, but some already have commenced. We'll hear about that from Ed Esposito of CBS radio affiliate WCHS in Charleston, West Virginia.
Wildcat strikes in Pennsylvania and West Virginia have idled 4,000 workers. The fact that of the two companies hit by strike, both are represented on the industry's bargaining panel, did not escape union leaders. The vice president of the union's largest district, Cecil Roberts, says the length of a national walkout depends on when negotiations get underway again.
There'll be a strike by March 27th, for sure. And the longer the bargaining council has gone from Washington, the longer the impasse lasts.
3 years ago, health coverage for the rank and file went to private carriers, a concession to industry. The bugs are just now being worked out. And miners are determined to keep the existing pension trust fund program intact. Ed Esposito for CBS News, Charleston, West Virginia.
Authorities in Charleston, South Carolina today are holding a Cuban native who tried to hijack an Air Florida, New York to Miami jetliner. He threw a briefcase into the aisle, shouting, "I have a bomb," then surrendered to crew members. The plane was diverted to Charleston, where the man was arrested. Military exercises by the staffs and commanders of the Warsaw Pact nations have begun in Poland and other Soviet bloc countries. Bernard Redmond has the story in Moscow.
The exercises are being held on Polish territory as well as in East Germany, Czechoslovakia, and here in the Soviet Union. They've been described here as joint command and control land and sea exercises under the code name Soyuz 81, meaning Alliance 81. The Soviets don't say how many troops or units are involved. Soviet officials have informed U.S. diplomats here that the number of troops won't exceed 25,000 and won't involve border crossings by large numbers of troops into Poland. The figure of 25,000 is the cutoff point for requiring notification of troop movements under the 1975 Helsinki Agreement. This alleviated some concern in the West that maneuvers could disguise a Soviet intervention. Some 30,000 Soviet troops are permanently based in Poland. Bernard Redmond, CBS News, Moscow.
Poland's Armed Forces newspaper calls the maneuvers the largest since just after the invasion of Czechoslovakia in 1968. Two attacks were made yesterday on U.S. embassies in Central America, both intended as protests against this country's policy in El Salvador. The first involved the bombing of a U.S. embassy van in San Jose, Costa Rica. Three American Marines were wounded. Ike Pappas takes it from there.
By early last night, the two Marine guards who were not seriously injured in the attack had been released from the hospital, brought back to the embassy for a short debriefing, and then taken to their quarters. A third Marine remained in the hospital with a shattered leg and other injuries. The American ambassador to Costa Rica, Francis McNeil, said after the attack that luck was a factor.
This van takes the same route every morning, is that correct?
No, it will shift from time to time, but they had chosen their target well this morning, obviously.
Ambassador McNeil said the ultra-leftist terrorist group claiming responsibility for the bombing is so new, American officials at the embassy were unaware of its existence. Ike Pappas, CBS News, San Jose, Costa Rica.
Some hours after that incident, gunmen in a passing truck sprayed the U.S. Embassy in San Salvador with automatic rifle fire. Nobody was hurt. Democratic Representative Clarence Long of Maryland was in the Salvadoran capital at the time. He told reporters there that he opposes the administration's sending of about 50 military advisors to El Salvador. More budget work today on Capitol Hill. George Herman has details.
The Senate Budget Committee comes to work early this morning, hoping to finish its job this evening. Yesterday, in a session that ran from just before 11 in the morning to just before 9 at night, it cut more than $29 billion out of federal spending for fiscal 1981, 2, and 3. The biggest cuts came in governmental affairs, specifically changing the twice-a-year cost of living adjustment for federal workers to once a year and reducing the postal subsidy. Total savings there, $4.7 billion next year, $6.4 the year after. Another big cut was Senator Kassebaum's $3 billion carved out of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. The committee's been moving with unusual speed because, in general, the Republicans have maintained a united front and the minority Democrats have splintered all over the place. The only successful rebellion was Senator Hart's move to put back into the budget $25 million for counseling for veterans of the Vietnam War. He got it back in. All other cuts proposed by the president were easily approved. George Herman, CBS News, Washington.
The Reagan administration is still pressing for a hold down on auto imports from Japan, reported by Leslie Stahl.
Despite the president's devotion to the principles of free trade, a cabinet-level task force has agreed to recommend that he ask the Japanese government to voluntarily limit their exports of Datsuns, Hondas, Toyotas, and Subarus as a way of giving the U.S. auto industry, quote, some running room. The group could have recommended something stronger, that the president seek a formal binding agreement from the Japanese. But instead, they're proposing a looser arrangement, an understanding, under which the U.S. would neither police the agreement, nor retaliate in any way if the Japanese should go over the agreed limit. The cabinet group also agreed to recommend that at least 40 auto health and safety regulations be eased, such as standards on fuel economy, exhaust emissions, and airbags. A White House analysis concludes that could save the U.S. auto industry up to $5 billion over 5 years. Officials expect the president to go along with the recommendations at a cabinet meeting on Thursday. Leslie Stahl, CBS News, the White House.
The Japanese trade minister says his government is urging Japanese automakers to agree to voluntary restraints on exports to the United States. More testimony is being taken today in Los Angeles in Carol Burnett's suit against the National Enquirer. Linda Douglas tells us what happened yesterday.
Carol Burnett gave an emotional, angry performance on the witness stand as she tried to convince the jury that the National Enquirer had libeled her. She said the tabloid portrayed her as drunk, abrasive, and rude when describing her behavior in a Washington restaurant. She said the story will follow her for the rest of her life.
If I laugh in a restaurant, does that mean I can never laugh in a restaurant again? I can never be myself and enjoy myself again? In any kind of a normal situation, I felt awful.
Lawyers for the Enquirer tried to show that Burnett has suffered no real damage, no loss of income or reputation. But Burnett says she suffered mental and emotional pain and argues the tabloid should be made to pay $10 million. Today, the Enquirer will try to convince the judge it is a newspaper, not a magazine. Under California law, newspapers can get around libel claims by printing a retraction, which the Enquirer did. Linda Douglas, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Johnny Carson on NBC's Tonight Show denounced an Enquirer story about him. He called it slanderous, 100% false, and described the Enquirer and the people who wrote the article as liars. Carson said he wouldn't sue, though, because of the troubles involved in litigation. The price of gold bounced up today overseas. It was fixed in London at $510.25 an ounce, up nearly $19. The dollar is down on the foreign exchanges for the fifth day in a row.
CBS News. Secretary of State Haig calls for adequate defense capability for Israel while defending Reagan administration programs increasing military aid to Egypt. I'm Christopher Glenn, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Secretary Haig testified before the House Foreign Affairs Committee this morning in support of the administration's planned foreign assistance security program of nearly $7 billion. He said U.S. objectives for a lasting Middle East peace will be helped by a defense-capable Israel. Israel, he said, can play a major role in countering serious threats involving the Soviet Union. Haig was also talking about criticism of U.S. military assistance to El Salvador. He said the administration is proposing a special requirements fund, funds which could be applied to foreign aid on a sort of spot basis.
If we have the capability to respond quickly and adequately in those cases where security assistance would make the difference, the need for United States direct involvement might be reduced or even eliminated.
CBS News continues in a minute.
Any good carpenter knows that he cannot build a house with a hammer alone. He must also have a saw, a square, and a level. He must have different tools for different jobs. And the same is true in the world of business. That's why Dale Carnegie offers five distinctly different courses, each for a different purpose. A management seminar exclusively for managers. A sales course for people in the selling profession. Another course in the art of customer relations. A fourth course to improve teamwork within an organization. And yet a fifth course to help men and women become more confident, express themselves more effectively, and get along even better with other people. Five distinctly different courses, each for a different purpose. Call today for a free catalog outlining all five Dale Carnegie courses. Call Dale Carnegie toll-free, 800-231-5800. That's Dale Carnegie, 800-231-5800. In Texas, call 800-392-2424.
The transit strike in Philadelphia deepened today, spreading to affect suburban bus commuters. Al Novak of CBS station WCAU has the story.
The strike by 4,900 employees of the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority, all members of the Transportation Workers Union, had its effects felt in one of four suburban counties surrounding Philadelphia today. TWU informational pickets were set up at the authority's suburban Red Arrow division. As a result, some 70 drivers, all members of a non-striking union, were suspended when they refused to cross TWU picket lines. The labor action resulted in almost no bus and trolley service to about 100,000 suburban commuters. The strike, now on its fourth day, is affecting some 400,000 daily commuters in both the city and the suburbs. Negotiations appear stalemated. Neither side is moving. Talks broke off last Sunday, with the prime issue being a written test for mechanics mandated by the Transportation Authority. The union is opposed to the test on the grounds that it discriminates. Al Novak for CBS News, Philadelphia.
West Germany's economics minister warned the United States today against setting any specific limit on U.S. imports of Japanese-made autos. The minister, Otto Lambsdorff, said such a move by the U.S. could lead to a series of protectionist actions by European nations. Japan said today it'll order car manufacturers to cut exports to the U.S., and Prime Minister Tanaka said he's 80% confident the action can be accomplished through guidance rather than law. The White House, meantime, will not confirm a report that President Reagan will soon get a task force report, which recommends a voluntary limit on imports of Japanese cars. The Republican-controlled Senate Budget Committee is expected to complete its work on President Reagan's tax and spending cut programs by tonight. So far, the committee members have been able to overcome Democratic opposition, in some cases approving budget cuts exceeding those recommended by the administration. In all, yesterday's committee cuts totaled about $12.5 billion. Today, though, there could be some stiffer wrangling, as cuts in social service areas, food stamps, Medicare and Medicaid, Social Security, and the like, come under consideration. President Reagan this morning hosted freshman Republican senators at breakfast, part of his continuing personal effort to push his budget cutting plans. More CBS News in the stocks after this.
It's not always easy pulling yourself together in the morning. So if you found matching socks and made it out the door today, give yourself a little reward. Your breakfast is ready at McDonald's. Come on in and sit down with a steaming cup of our own specially brewed coffee, some fresh scrambled eggs, pure pork sausage, and crunchy McDonald's hash browns. We're right on your way, so come on in.
Nobody can.
Your breakfast is ready at McDonald's.
Like McDonald's can.
Now, Now, through March 19th, take delivery of an Olds Cutlass Coupe and get a $700 bonus from Oldsmobile and Olds dealers.
$700 back on a Cutlass Coupe? I'm on my way.
Buy an Omega, get a $500 bonus.
$500 back on Olds Omega? Great!
Get your best deal and a check from Oldsmobile. Or apply your bonus to the down payment on a new Cutlass Coupe or Omega delivered to retail customers now through March 19th. See your participating Olds dealer for details.
Wildcat strikes are spreading in the soft coal fields. Walkouts reported now in Ohio as well as West Virginia and Pennsylvania. The United Mine Workers Union says a nationwide strike is inevitable next week because of a breakdown of contract talks in Washington. Even should the bargaining resume and an agreement be hammered out before the current contract expires March 27th, there wouldn't be enough time for union members to ratify the proposal before the strike date. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Industrials average down 1.54. Volume on the big board passed 11 million shares. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
Newsbreak. Charles Osgood reporting on the CBS Radio Network. American communities will be getting less money from Washington, and El Salvador will be getting more, if I understand the Reagan administration correctly. Art Buchwald, in his column yesterday, suggested that the Bronx might consider changing its name to El Salvador as a way of getting Washington interested in the struggle there. We don't know whether that would work, but we do know of one American city that's asking for aid from West Germany and Japan. Stand by.
Coconetta, coconetta, let a pina coconetta turn you on to a taste that gets better and better. Pour a coconetta, a pina coconetta. Pour a coconetta, a pina coconetta.
Pina coconetta, the great new wine delight from Manischewitz. A lighter, fun-loving drink with a fresh, fruity flavor of pineapple and coconut. Plus fine white wine to give it a crisp, clean taste. Just pour it straight over ice. Pina coconetta.
Pour a coconetta, a pina coconetta. For a coconut.
Manischewitz Wine Company, New York.
When even I stopped going to my own coffee club, I knew something was wrong. It had to be my coffee. Then I switched to new improved Cava Instant. Now no one leaves my house with a bitter feeling. Cava's the only 90% acid neutralized coffee. That means it tastes less bitter when you drink it, so it feels better after. And with its improved blend of coffee beans, Cava tastes better than ever. Now my coffee club is so popular, I even turned down my own mother.
New improved Cava Instant. Tastes better when you drink it, so it feels better after.
There's a bridge over the Mississippi River at Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin. That bridge, however, is now closed to traffic. It is closed because of a 4-inch crack in the structure, Mayor James Bittner says.
Yes, I understand it's a fault in the steel. The steel is not proper, not strong enough. We were told it could collapse at any time.
So now, to get to Marquette, Iowa, on the other side of the river, folks have to drive 3 hours instead of 5 minutes.
It's a 67-mile round trip. Or 134 round trip, about 167 one way around. And normally it's about 2 miles across.
Now, this is the sort of thing, a broken bridge connecting two states, that Mayor Bittner thinks Uncle Sam might well take an interest in.
I think so, yes. It's a federal highway, and it was built with federal and state money, and I think the feds should take an interest in it.
But do they, in fact, take an interest in it?
No, not at all. They feel it's our problem back here, the state and the city's problem, and I think they take the attitude it's not a disaster, a natural disaster, and therefore it doesn't qualify for anything.
Mayor Bittner isn't so sure it isn't a disaster, economically anyway.
Oh, yes, yeah, it has the same results as a disaster. Fortunately, nobody got hurt, but we don't have a bridge.
So what Prairie du Chien has decided to do is to apply for aid from elsewhere.
You know, the federal government's having its problems with money, and so is the state with problems with money. And I felt maybe in order to get some help with money, getting this thing fixed and getting our economy back to normal, maybe I could get a little help from West Germany and Japan.
As the third world countries have been trying to tell us now for years, the haves simply have to help the have-nots out in this world. Mayor Bittner has taken this idea beyond the mere talking stage.
I sent a letter out last week explaining our problems and wondering if there's anything they could do to kind of help us.
In a way, it's a difficult sales job for the mayor of an American town to explain to Tokyo and Bonn why they should do what Washington will not do. But Mayor Bittner says he has tried to be diplomatic about it.
Well, and to a degree, I complimented them on their rebuildings of their countries over the years and their business-like approach to things, and so on that basis, I said maybe you can give us a little help in this area here.
Neither West Germany nor Japan has replied to the mayor of Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, as yet, but he says perhaps they'll see it as enlightened self-interest.
It would be nice to have a Volkswagen factory on one side of town and a Toyota factory on the other side, maybe a Burry in the middle.
Whatever. Aren't these fascinating times? Now this.
Now, through March 19th, take delivery of an Olds Cutlass Coupe and get a $700 bonus from Oldsmobile and Olds dealers.
$700 back on a Cutlass Coupe? I'm on my way.
Buy an Omega, get a $500 bonus.
$500 back on Olds Omega? Great!
Get your best deal and a check from Oldsmobile. Or apply your bonus to the down payment on a new Cutlass Coupe or Omega delivered to retail customers now through March 19th. See your participating Olds dealer for details.
News. President Reagan has made another appeal for passage of his economic program intact and received a mixed reception. I'm Stephanie Shelton reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Mr. Reagan invited freshman Republican senators to the White House for breakfast this morning. Leslie Stahl reports.
After the breakfast, a spokesman for the freshman Republicans, Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, said the president's main subject of conversation was the economic package.
He is concerned about those who would chip it away and who would then revel in its failure.
But Specter, like many of the other Republicans who say they support the president, are not averse to chipping away when it affects their own constituents.
Mass transit has a role which is so vital that it has to have a greater share than is accorded to it at the present time. There's no absolute magic in what David Stockman has brought out. There is room for disagreement and for battling as to how those cuts are going to come.
Specter believes Congress will pass most of the program. Other senators said between 75 and 90% of it. Leslie Stahl, CBS News, the White House.
The Congressional Black Caucus is releasing an alternative budget proposal on Capitol Hill at this hour. It substitutes targeted tax breaks for the administration's across-the-board tax reduction and cuts proposed increases in Pentagon spending. The group, which has 18 members, all Democrats, says it would result in a smaller 1982 deficit and combat inflation and unemployment as well. More in a minute.
Morning, Mom. You found Andy's math book, poured three bowls of cereal, and got the kids off to school. Wouldn't it be nice if someone made breakfast for you for a change? How about an Egg McMuffin? A fresh egg, lean Canadian bacon, and melted cheese on a toasted buttered English muffin. We've got our specially brewed steaming hot coffee waiting for you, too. So come on in, Mom. You deserve it.
Nobody can do it.
Your breakfast is ready at McDonald's.
Like McDonald's can.
The National Association of Realtors, this is Greg Morris. Home buyers and home sellers alike seem to worry a lot about the closing. A realtor can help make that worry disappear, so you'll understand what's happening and what your obligations are at every step from title search to deed recording. To guide you through the closing, talk to a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
Secretary of State Haig testified on Capitol Hill today urging passage of the administration's foreign military assistance package. Almost 70% of the $6.8 billion for next fiscal year would go to the Middle East.
We are determined that Israel retain the military capability to deter threats from hostile forces. Moreover, we recognize the importance of Israel to our developing strategy. Israel constitutes an important deterrent in the region, and indeed can play a major role in countering the more serious threats involving the Soviet Union itself.
The State Department says Spain has been added to Secretary Haig's itinerary for next month. He'll visit Madrid after a fact-finding trip to the Middle East and then fly to London. Some Spaniards were offended by Haig's remark that the recent takeover attempt by military officers was an internal matter. The Soviet leadership strongly attacked President Reagan today for saying that the U.S. would consider supplying arms to the Afghan rebels if requested. A statement released by TASS says Mr. Reagan's March 9th remark is official confirmation of an undeclared war being waged against Afghanistan by the U.S. and others. The Japanese government plans to tell car makers to reduce exports to the United States. The Reagan administration favors voluntary restraints rather than quotas to protect the American industry. But the Economic Affairs Minister of West Germany warned today that any kind of agreement limiting Japanese car sales to the U.S. would set off an international trade war. Wildcat walkouts have closed some soft coal mines in five states. Most, but not all, of the protests result from the breakdown in bargaining toward a new national contract. A formal strike March 27th seems inevitable. Now this.
We make your daughters dance, wake you to the sun. We bake your bread, light your way when day is done. We make you pretty, we make you smile. We bring good things to live in. We bring good things to life.
At GE, we're in the business of bringing good things to life by making products that make life a little easier, a little better. And you know something? We think that's a pretty nice business to be in.
We bring you closer to the ones you love.
President Carter declined an invitation to go jogging in Princeton, New Jersey this morning. He's there to consult with Princeton professors about the memoirs he's writing. He said he left his running shoes in Georgia. On Wall Street to the hour, the Dow Jones Industrial's up 2.16 to stand at 994.69, the big board volume about 21.5 million shares. I'm Stephanie Shelton, CBS News.